Bill Owens, talk to me about the cliff. Sooner or later, this is going to have to be resolved. Now, I'm on record here. I'm saying both sides cannot afford not to come to some kind of resolution here. Am I right or wrong?
Well, that's certainly my belief as well, Alan. I think it would be irresponsible not to come to a solution to this. My concern is that what will happen as we drift through December is that it will become less and less likely that we can come to a big deal. We will come to some kind of kick the can down the road methodology. I think there's any number of ways that we could get to that $1.2 trillion, $120 billion a year that would be meaningful and that would be in the best interest of the American public. And I can give you a couple of examples. And I've talked about this before, but, you know, there's $40 to $50 billion if Medicare could negotiate its own prescription drug purchases.
I mean, it is absurd that there's still people, particularly in the Republican Party, who say, no, we won't allow the government to negotiate a better price.
Well, it's particularly absurd because Medicaid and the VA does it already.
Yeah.
So it really makes no sense. Private hospitals do the same thing. They enter into buying groups, and they purchase drugs through their buying groups, so they're obviously getting a discount.
I mean, I can understand how the Republicans in Congress believe in certain things, but how in hell can they expect anybody to buy that except as a cheap sort of bully boy way of protecting some clients?
Well, it amazes me.
The drug companies.
It amazes me, and I certainly do not understand why they will not entertain that. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the full enchilada, if you will. We could negotiate some compromise, which I certainly would be open to. But the failure to be willing to move forward in a constructive way, I think, is most troubling. We could reach out to the General Accountability Office. They've got $100 billion in savings that would not affect any beneficiaries of federal programs, but there's $100 billion there. Well, if you take that plus the 40 that you get from Medicare, you got $140 billion. If you added in then another $100 billion of revenue, you're at $2.4 trillion, well above where we need to be. You know, we would then be moving in the right direction. Next year, I think we would then need to continue the process of making government more efficient. I think we need to look at issues related to revamping the Internal Revenue Code to make it more efficient. It still has to, however, generate more revenue in line with the revenue that was generated during the Clinton years.
Yeah, but obviously there are just a few ways to do that. I mean, you can charge more money for the top 2%, which I suspect is going to be part of the bargain. It won't be over $250,000. My bet is it's $400,000, but who knows? But then you can also take away some of the deductions. And those deductions are some very popular ones. I mean, we here at WAMZ love the idea that people give money at the end of the year in gay profusion, because they know exactly what they're getting. In other words, we can give it to the government or we can give it to you. Well, you take that away, and there are going to be a lot of nonprofits crying the blues, don't you think?
Absolutely. And again, though, you know, there's $1.1 trillion of tax expenditures, which are deductions and credits. Some of those are personal, like mortgage, charitable, that kind
right,
of activity.
Sure.
Some are corporate. Good example, of course, is the breaks that are given to oil companies. We could go in and not necessarily eliminate all of those for corporations, but we could certainly trim them down. As an example, if you took 20% off $1.1 trillion, you know, you're talking about $220 billion of additional revenue that would come in. That's a significant number. If you then made some adjustments on the personal side, whether that's through raising rates or limiting deductions or some combination thereof, you know, you could quickly get yourself to $300 billion. If you could then match that with significant cuts in spending, you could get yourself in the $500 or $600 billion range and pretty much eliminate the deficit. I mean, those are the kinds of realistic things we have to be talking about.
So you have friends in the other side of the aisle, right? A few friends, don't you?
A few friends, yes.
Yeah.
I've always had a few friends.
And you, no, I'm talking about Republicans.
You know, yes,
yeah. And you can talk to them, right? And you can say, because I think one of the dangers here is that their behavior is somewhat suicidal. In other words, if you're a conservative Republican, you watch Obama win largely on this very issue that we're talking about, and you say, I don't give a damn, I'll go right over the cliff. You know, is it your impression that they're just, you know, two-year-olds stamping their feet in the sand and saying, I'm not going to do this?
Well, I unfortunately, I think there's some of that. But at the same time, I think that people, you know, I think there are legitimately held positions by people that are not purely political. They are, in fact, philosophical. And what we have to do is to sit down, listen to what those folks have to say, and then incorporate it into a compromise. Now, if your response is, well, they won't compromise, if that's a different issue, but at least I think we have to go through the process of saying, you know what, I think some of your ideas are good. I mean, you know, when I was first running, people would ask me those questions, and I would say, look, how is it not reasonable, responsible to talk about having a balanced budget? Who wouldn't like to be back at the end of the Clinton era and have a balanced budget? I don't think there's anybody who would say that's a bad idea. Now, reality sometimes creeps in, and we have issues that occur in the country that don't allow that to happen. But clearly, the concept of getting back there is clearly something I think almost everyone would agree with. At the same time, we have to make sure that we, you know, keep the safety net in place, that we have an adequate defense, and we're taking care of the troops when they come home. We have a lot of responsibilities that we have to meet at the same time. So we have to create a balance, but when you reject out of hand what the other person's basic philosophical bent is, without listening, understanding, I think that's where we get into trouble. And so what I'm always trying to do with my friends on the other side of the aisle is encourage them to talk, and so that I can hear what their position is, because you frequently learn when you listen.
And so when you listen with your crystal ball in hand, I know you have one there, what would be a reasonable way to compromise on this?
Well, again, I would go back to this idea of finding ways to do the things I talked about before. I think that if somebody said to me, well, I'm prepared to reduce those tax expenditures by 20%, that's something I would listen to. I think there are ways to get there that will allow each of the parties to achieve their intended goal. And if you really listen to what people are saying, when we talk about, you know, the top 2%, if you will, paying their fair share, does it make any difference whether the rate goes up or the deductions go down if the gross amount of tax that's being paid is increased? I'm not sure that that's the case. And I think we have to be very careful not to get bound up in an ideological position as opposed to a result.
Bill Owens, always wonderful to talk to you. Again, congratulations on your big win.
Thank you.
We'll come back the next time. Let's take a trip to the Middle East.
All right. Thank you.